السلام علیکم و رحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. ذاکر انکل، مائی نیم از سمیا ویرانی. آئی ایم اے ریورٹ مسلم. آئی وانٹ ٹو آسک ون کوشچن. مائی کوشچن از، ہاؤ مچ شوڈ وی لو پروفیٹ محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم؟
The topic for today has been, and Dr. Zakir Naik has spoken on the topic, Prophet Muhammad in various world religious scriptures. So I would request you to ask a question which is pertaining to the topic. This question as to how much we Muslims should love, unless Dr. Zakir Naik wishes to reply, I as a chairperson don't think it is pertaining to the topic. I would prefer questions being asked on the topic.
Whatever you feel. If you want me to answer, I'll answer.
All right, if you wish.
Okay, since it is the first question, and asked by a very young sister of ours, Maya Virani, we'll make an exception. So that's the question, that how much should we love Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him? The answer is the maximum that you can. And the Quran says clearly, Inna a'atayna kal kawthar, fasalli rabbika wanhar, inna shaniyaka wal abtar, that we have promised him the fount of abundance. So pray to the Lord. And anyone who hated thee is cut off from all future hope. So surely you should not hate him. The more you love him, the more you will be closer to God Almighty. Loving does not only mean verbal loving. You should follow even his teachings. And whatever he preached, you should implement it practically in your life.
Thank you. Can we have a question from the Jain section out here?
Brother Zakir, many Christians believe that the Buddha Maitri mentioned in the Buddhist scriptures refers to Jesus, may peace be upon him. So could you comment on that?
The brother asked the question, for all the criteria that I gave for the Maitri in the Buddhist scriptures, there are some Christians who say that it refers to Jesus, peace be upon him. Let's analyze, since you already know all the criteria that I mentioned. First thing, he should be Maitri. That means he should be mercy to the whole of mankind. Merciful, kind, compassionate. Nowhere did Jesus, peace be upon him, call himself as a mercy. He never called himself as a Maitri, and he never claimed to be a Maitri. And if you analyze the criteria which I mentioned, if you read the Sacred Book of the East, volume number 11, page 36, it says that the teaching of the Maitri will be exoteric and esoteric. There will be no difference between the two. And he said that a teacher should not teach with closed fists, it should be open. But if you analyze Jesus, peace be upon him, he always spoke in parables. And he said, if you read the gospel, he said that give not what is holy to the dog, nor throw pearls to the pigs, lest they will trample it. He prevented them from going to certain people. And he always spoke in parable, which does not fulfill the criteria of a Maitri. The other example I mentioned, the criteria, was in the Sacred Book of the East, volume number 11, page 97, which said that he should have a servitor. And I said that the servitor of the beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was Anas, may Allah be pleased with him. But there was no servitor to Jesus, peace be upon him. In fact, if you read the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 26, verse number 56, it says that all his apostles all forsook and fled. All of them, not a single one stayed with him. So he had no servitor. He did not fulfill the criteria of the Maitri. And the other criteria that I mentioned of the Maitri, that he should receive the enlightenment at night. If you read the gospel, it says that John the Baptist, he baptized him at daytime. And there's no record that he appeared to be lit up. The second criteria. Third is, he didn't die a natural death. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, died a natural death. Jesus, peace be upon him, according to the false teaching of the Bible, he was crucified. According to the Muslims, he was raised up alive. The third criteria is not fulfilled. Even the fourth criteria, that he will die at night. We know that he was crucified at daytime. And before sunset, he was taken down from the cross, according to the false teaching of the Bible, whatever they believe. So it was daytime. And there's no record saying that he was lit up when he died. Fifth point was falsified. And last is that he should not appear again in the bodily form. And we know Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, after he expired, no one has seen the body of the beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. after expired, once he was gone, he will not reappear again. But we know that even according to the Quran and according to the Bible, there is a second coming of Jesus, peace be upon him, which again falsifies the six criteria. So all the criteria prove that Jesus, peace be upon him, was not the Buddha Maitri prophesied in the Buddhist scriptures. Hope that answers the question.
Thank you, Dr. Zakir Naik. May we have one more question from the Zen section before we move on to the Vidhi section? The members of the audience who are seated in the reference or the library section of the IRF and who do not have a mic, if they wish to ask a question, if there are one or two, they can come here to the auditorium personally and ask. Alternatively, if they want, they can write their questions on chits of paper and send it to us over here in the auditorium. May we have your question, sir?
In the world scriptures, other than the one from the Jews and for the Christians, what you mentioned just now, and in which our beloved Prophet's name is mentioned, after these, knowing these things from these scriptures, can we call the people, like Hindus, Parsis, etc., people of the book?
So, we have the question that since the mention of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is even mentioned in the other scriptures, like besides the Jewish and the Christian scriptures, like in the Buddhist scriptures, the Parsi scriptures, etc., can we call them as the people of the book, the people of Revelation? See, whenever a title is given, for example, it is given with a purpose. For example, because God spoke to Musa alayhi salam, he was called Kalimatullah. Not that the others were not. For example, he was called a friend of Allah, Abraham, peace be upon him. That does not mean the other prophets were enemies of Allah. The particular title given. The moment when you use the friend of Allah, it refers to Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him. That does not mean that the other prophets, they were not friends of Allah. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he was given the other word, word of Allah, Ruh of Allah. That does not mean the other prophets are not. Particular titles. Similarly, if you ask me, that if you consider the other scriptures, are the revelations of God Almighty, I cannot say for sure. Maybe they are, maybe they are not. Since the Quran only mentions four revelations by name, the Torah, the Zabur, the Injil and the Furqan, that is the Quran. So I can surely say that the Jewish scriptures and the Christian scriptures in the original form were the revelation of God Almighty. The other scriptures, they may be the revelation of God Almighty. Since there were several revelations that came on the face of the earth. But in the present form, they are in the corrupted form. Even the corrupted form, Alhamdulillah, the mention of Muhammad, peace be upon him, is there. So if you say, can you call the people of the book? I have got no objection. But whenever the Quran refers to Ya Ahl al-Kitab, O people of the book, it refers specifically to the Jews and Christians. Those, for example, if you ask me, are the Muslim people of the book? Yes, we are. We have got the book. But specifically the title is given people of the book, it refers to the Jews and Christians. That does not mean that the other religious people are not people of the book. Hope that answers the question.
Thank you. May we have a question from the Lady section?
Walaikum assalam.
Brother, I have a confusion regarding the verse you quoted from Atharva Veda, book 20, hymn 21, mantra 6. You said that this refers to the events of the Battle of Alis, and you also happened to mention the Battle of the Trench. I want to know whether it refers to both the battles or to one. If yes, how?
Sister, that's the question. There is a bit of confusion. When I said the Atharva Veda, Prophet in Atharva Veda, book number 20, hymn number 21, verse number 6, refers to the Battle of Alis. Battle of Alis, another name is Battle of Ahzab, Battle of Confederates. But since, if you know the history, that during this battle, there were approximately 3,000 Muslims in Medina. All the opponents of the Muslims, they gathered the allies together and they numbered 10,000 and they laid siege at Medina. Many people from different tribes, many were hypocrites also, Jews, etc., they gathered and they laid siege. And the Muslims decided, we will give resistance by staying in Medina itself. And during one of the way of resistance that they did was even they laid the trench, which is mentioned, if you refer, in the commentary of Surah Ahzab. Abdullah has already mentioned that a trench was laid. This is another meaning. Another name is Battle of Trench, Battle of Ahzab, same battle, given different names. And they were kept holding for about 2 weeks. Some records say about 27 days. and God Almighty helped them. God Almighty helped them, there was storm, etc., and they were forced to go back. This battle at the same time, sister, was also a test for the munafiqs. Amongst the munafiqs, those munafiqs who saw the allies, they said, "Oh, now we are defeated. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and Allah, na'uz billah, they are to blame for this defeat." But when the believers, as mentioned Surah Ahzab, chapter number 33, verse number 21, when they saw the allies, their faith was reconfirmed. This is what the Prophet and Allah had told us. And they always speak the truth. So this is an incident. This battle has been given several times. Hope this clarifies the confusion, sister.
May we have a question from the gent section out here? Excuse me. Give it over there.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Zakir Sahib, you had mentioned that Zoroastrian had ordered his followers to light up the fire till the messenger comes. Does that mean that he justified the worship of fire?
The brother asked the question that since Prophet Zoroaster said that to lit up, to light the fire till the Prophet came, does it mean that you justify that fire, lighting the fire is right or wrong? See, fire is another sign upon them, something which is divine. But let me remind you one point, brother, that just because you are pointing prophecy from the Bible, from the Zed Avesta, from the Dhamma Padda, that does not mean that we agree with the total scriptures. We agree only in the Quran as the authentic book of God, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But since they believe it to be authentic, Quran says, Ta'ala wila kalmatin sawa'im, bainana wa bainakum. Come to common terms as between us and you. So even if you don't consider that the complete book is correct, maybe parts of it are correct. So we say that even though you consider it to be the word of God, we don't consider it. We consider this to be the word of God. At least come to common terms. When you consider the word of God, you have to follow everything in that book. We need not follow everything in that book because we don't agree it to be the word of God. It's a corrupted form. And alhamdulillah, even in the corrupted scriptures of the various world religions, still alhamdulillah, the scriptures speak about the advent of beloved Prophet. Hope that answers the question. So we need not believe that whatever he spoke is right. What is common point, we say to agree with that. What is uncommon, leave it aside. Hope that answers the question.
There's someone over here who wants to ask a question.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Dear brother, you have given the quotations from books and other things from the. And I have come across.
Can you speak into the mic and speak a bit loudly and clearly so that it gets recorded? Okay. Becomes audible also.
Okay. See, there are some scriptures, scribed on the stones.
Scribed on the stones?
I have seen that one in Banaras, Hindu University. There is a stone scripture taken from this Sindh Sulaiswai Sindh. Angel comes from the sky, one man sitting on the hill getting message. At the bottom they have written like this, in future, that is after this civilization, those people expected some kind of relation from this sky coming to some holy person. Is it actually Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him? Do you have any kind of information like that?
Therefore, the question that he had been to Banaras and he saw that there was some scripture written on the stone, and there's a man who will get the revelation. He's asking, can it refer to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him? Do I have any information? Brother, I have not read about this any time before. Whatever I've given from the authentic book, Atharveda, the Upanishad, the Puranas, etc. Authentic book. This may be true. But if we have several points, if we have 100 points, and we know 90 authentic, which everyone believes, why go to things which are doubtful, since I've got no proof? If we get proof that that same incident is mentioned in some religious scriptures, which the Hindus agree, I will quote that. For example, people say that, Brother Zakir, why don't you quote the Gospel of Barnabas? I know about Gospel of Barnabas, but the majority Christians don't believe in it. They say it's a fake gospel. So where are we going to first prove to the Christian that Gospel of Barnabas is true, and then prove our point? When we can prove our point from the present Bible, why go to a thing which is not accepted? So therefore, whenever you're doing dawah, it's preferable to quote things which are accepted by the opponent. What you said, brother, I have not come across. Maybe it is true. I am not saying it is not true. If it is mentioned in the authentic scriptures, then we can quote. I have not come across it. Because that's right. But if it's mentioned in the scriptures, if it's then the scriptures, authentic scriptures with the Hindus believe, then I feel you can quote it. If it's not present authentic scriptures, if it's mentioned in any other book which is not agreed to be the revelation of God by the Hindus, I feel we are not putting a point across. If there were no quotation from the Veda, then you can go to that. We have to always throw ace first, brother. Ace. Authentic scriptures give quotations, 100% proof. If you find that incident is mentioned in some authentic scripture, then I quote it. If I don't, I will keep it for my knowledge. There is something like that. But I don't use it to convince a non-Muslim when I've got such other good proof. Hope that answers the question.
Sisters, any questions?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Zakir.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Can you tell us something more about the Upanishads and the Puranas?
The sister has asked me to throw some light on the Hindu scriptures, that Upanishads, Puranas and the Vedas, etc. As I mentioned in my talk, that there are several, the religion which I know which has maximum scriptures is the Hindu religion. Several scriptures they have got. Upanishads, Vedas, Puranas, Ramayana, Mahabharata, Gita, several. But I will only throw some light on the ones that I have quoted and the one sister has asked, that is the Vedas, the Upanishads and the Puranas. Otherwise you require more than a lecture to speak about these. Just speaking briefly about it, the Vedas come from the root word vid, meaning to know, to acquire knowledge par excellence, a sacred knowledge. According to Mahabhashya of Patanjali, there are 1113 Vedas. 21 of them are Rigved, 9 branches of the Atharva Veda, 101 of the Yajurveda, and 1000 of the Sam Veda. Total 1,130, out of which only a dozen are present according to him. But basically, there are four types of Veda, as I mentioned in my talk. Basically, Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sam Veda, and the Atharva Veda. The Rig Veda, the Yajur Veda, and Sam Veda are more ancient revelations. And they are called as the Trividya, or the Triple Science. And amongst these three, the most ancient and revered is the Rig Veda. Atharva Veda came later on, after these three Vedas were revealed, at a later stage. If you analyze the Rig Veda, it mainly deals with the songs of praises. The Yajur Veda deals with sacrificial formulas. The Sam Veda deals with melody. And the Atharva Veda deals with magic formulas or with remedies. This is brief about the Vedas. There is no unanimous decision. There is no unanimous opinion among the scholars when were they revealed. According to Swami Dayanand, who is the founder of the Arya Samaj, the Vedas were revealed 1,310 millions of years ago. 1,310 millions of years ago. But most of the other scholars, they say, though we don't know the exact date, it is not revealed more than 4,000 years ago. And even regarding where it was revealed, which Rishi was responsible, the exact knowledge is not known. But Maharishi, it is said, is responsible for compiling the Vedas. Irrespective of all these different opinions, yet they consider the Vedas to be the most authentic of all the Hindu scriptures. Now come to the Upanishad. The Upanishad is derived from the root word up, meaning near, ni meaning down, and sad meaning sit, meaning sitting near, sitting down near. Because when the pupils, when they want to acquire guidance from the teacher, they sat down near the teacher. So when people started sitting down near the teacher to acquire knowledge, it derived the meaning Upanishads. It deriving knowledge from the teacher by sitting down. According to another scholar, Samkar, Upanishad is derived from sad, which means to loosen or to destroy. And up and ni are the prefix, meaning Brahma knowledge, which loosens or destroys ignorance. Different meaning of Upanishads. The word Vedanta is similarly used for Upanishads. Same meaning. Vedanta means originally the Upanishads. But later on, today, Vedanta means philosophy of Upanishads. Vedanta means the end of Vedas. Vedanta and, end of the Vedas. The concluding part of the Vedas. The goal of the Vedas. And we know these Upanishads, they are placed towards the conclusion part of the Vedas. And they were also revealed at the later Vedic age. Meaning, giving the meaning to the word Upanishad. Most of them agree that Vedas are more authentic than the Upanishads, but there are a few who say that the Upanishads are more authentic than the Vedas. Now coming to the Puranas. The Puranas comes third in order, and they are the sacred book which are recited the maximum by the Hindus. They recited maximum. These are the Vedas, as I mentioned, several translations. This is the Rig Veda. This is the Yajur Veda. We have the Sam, have the Atharva Veda. These are the Upanishads. And we also have the Puranas. The Puranas, they speak about the history of the creation of the universe. They speak about the history of the tribes of the Aryans. And they also speak about the stories of the divines and the deities. The stories of that. And they have been divided by Maharishi Vyasa into 18 voluminous parts. 18 voluminous parts. And I mainly quoted about the advent of beloved prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, from Bhavishya Purana, which is a Purana talking about the future. I hope this much is sufficient. Inshallah, in the future, after a couple of months, I will be giving a talk on Islam and Hinduism. Then inshallah, I will get some more knowledge on all these scriptures and about Hinduism.
Thank you. May we have a question from the Den section? Just behind you.
Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Zaganaik.
Walaikum assalam.
As you've mentioned that the mention of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mentioned in other scriptures much before the advent of the Prophet, and even after the birth of the Prophet, there were many signs which proved that his coming was just due. So can we conclude from that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was declared a prophet even before his mission, much before his mission? When he declared himself that he was a prophet of Allah.
Brother posed the question that since Muhammad, peace be upon him, is mentioned in the earlier scriptures before he was born, can we say that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was already declared as a messenger of Allah before he was born? Brother, since Allah is the author of the revelation, but naturally he knew in advance that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, will be a prophet. He also knew in advance that you are going to come to the auditorium today. Allah Ta'ala also knew in advance that I am going to give a talk on this topic today. Allah has ilm-e ghaib. So when Allah has ilm-e ghaib, whatever He wants to reveal of the future, He can reveal to you. Since this was an important point, that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, will not be a messenger only to a small type of people or to one nation. He will be a messenger to the whole of humankind. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala thought it fit that all the people should know in advance. You coming and I giving a lecture is not a big thing. Small thing. Since He is a universal messenger and the last prophet, Allah thought it fit that all the previous scriptures also should contain His prophecy, so that tomorrow no one can say that we did not know of it. There will be no excuse for that. Hope that answers your question.
May we have a question from the brothers?
Walaikum assalam.
See, some people say that all the prophecies of Prophet Muhammad that are mentioned in the Hindu scriptures or the Parsi scriptures, they are interpolations or additions made by the kings when they ruled the land. So could you give me some reply?
The brother has asked a question that some of the people say, the Hindus say, that the interpolation, like Kuntab Sukta, people say they have been added by the Muslims themselves, interpolation by the kings, etc. And the Parsi say that whatever prophecies you find in the scriptures of the Parsi religion, the interpolation by the Muslims. Can I give my comment? First thing, brother, they consider this to be the word of God. In a word of God, they can, not we. There can be no interpolation. If you think it's an interpolation, you have to reject it. You have to reject the whole book. how do you know this is an interpolation and can be possible even the previous verses of that scripture interpolation? So if suppose I put one drop of urine in a glass of water, if you know there is a drop of urine, will you drink it? No, you will throw it. Because you can't differentiate, all is mixed up now. You can't which is urine and which is water. You will throw it away. If you don't know, you may drink it. The same way, if they come to know that these are additions, what they should do? They should throw away the scripture. They should reject it. And find the one which has no interpolation. Even after that, still they come to the Holy Quran. If they say the interpolation, we have got no objection. Use the interpolation, keep the scripture aside. We have to find the scripture which has no interpolation and the only one that is there in the faith of the Quran. If they say it's not an interpolation, then you have to accept it. Should they come to the Quran? Hope that answers the question.
Thank you.
Both way, heads, I win, and tails, you lose.
Thank you. May we have a question from the sisters, please?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Brother, the Hindus speak of the Kalaki avatar, which they suppose will be coming. Is this a reference to Prophet Muhammad, and how can we prove it?
The sister has asked a question. Does it believe in Kalki avatar, avatar of your Kalyug? Can it refer to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him? Sister, I do know that they believe in Kalki avatar, but I have not come across any criteria of Kalki avatar which match the Prophet. Maybe they may be matching. Anyone who has done a research on that, as I said, Hindu scriptures are vast. It's difficult for a person to say that I'm well versed with all the Hindu scriptures. It's not possible. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. So I have not gone through all the Hindu scriptures. There are thousands of books. Like Quran, you can say, okay, I'm well versed with the Quran, one book. I can say, I'm well versed with the Bible. Only one book. There are other books in addition to the Bible for Christianity, in addition to the Quran, like the Hadith, but not one sacred book. Like Hindus, for example, the Rig Veda, the one that we have, it comes into 13 different volumes, only Rig Veda. Then Atharva Veda has got 5 different volumes. Sam Veda got another 2 different volumes. Some people have gone into details. Everything, Upanishad, there are how many Upanishads? I forgot to mention in the earlier answer, they believe in more than 200 Upanishads. Only 108. According to tradition, they say the 108. But actually, there are more than 200 different Upanishads. More than 200. And the principal Upanishads, some say 10, some say 11, the others say 18. In this Upanishad we have, there are totally 18 principal Upanishads. Again, Ramayana, there are 300 different types of Ramayana. Mahabharata. So if you ask me, is it mentioned, I have not done a study on all the Hindu scriptures. Few here and there I have read what is required. When we can prove with all these quotations, if you have proof that Kalki avatar is mentioned in the original scriptures, you can use it. If you don't have, these are sufficient. This is clearly the Quran says. These are clear proof. I have given more than 25 different prophecies from various scriptures. Enough proof, and each prophecy gives several criteria. Some give 10, some give 5, some give 20 for the coming of the beloved Prophet. These are more than sufficient. I doubt if you require any more. But if you know anything more, you can surely add. If you don't know, this, what I've spoken in the lecture, is more than sufficient. Hope that answers the question.
If you have a question from the Jain section. Brother Zakir, I would like to ask you a question. Are there any other similarities between Islam and Zoroastrianism, apart from the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, being mentioned in their scriptures? Any other similarities between Islam and Zoroastrianism?
The brother posed the question that besides the mention of beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in the Parsi scriptures, is there any other similarities in Zoroastrian religion, Islam and Zoroastrianism? Yes, brother, there are several. There are differences also. There are many differences also. There are similarities also. Since you asked me the question on similarities, I will only pay importance to the similarities. There are several. For example, even if you read the scriptures of the Parsis, according to them, Ahura Mazda, he created the universe in 6 periods. Quran says the same. They believe that the humankind was created from 2 pairs, male and female. Male and female. Mashaya, Mahishana. Male and female. Like how we believe Adam and Eve, peace be upon him. But the names are different. We believe in the story of Noah alayhi salam. They believe the story of him. But instead of the flood, they believe God Almighty told him that there is going to be a snowstorm. So make for yourself a cave. And in that cave, you take a pair of animal, all types of animal, all types of vegetable, the human being, etc. Here we believe that Noah alayhi salam, because of the coming of the flood, he was asked to build an ark. And here, Prophet Yim is mentioned in a cave. Similar, somewhat similar. For example, even the advent of beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is mentioned in the scripture. About the concept of God Almighty, if you analyze, even they believe. Same as our main concept from Surah Ikhlas, chapter 112, which says, Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad, that there is Allah one and only. They believe that Allah is one and only. According to them, Parsi scripture, there is only one God. Though, if you analyze the Parsis, they believe in dualism, that the second evil force is there. But actually in the scripture it is mentioned, there is only one God. He is absolute and eternal. There is nothing like unto him. You cannot see God with a naked eye in this world. The scripture says that, Quran says the same. This is, the scripture if you read says, that God is closer than yourself. Quran says in Surah Qaf, chapter number 50, verse number 16, I am closer to you than your very light vein, than a jugular vein. Meaning is same. The Parsi says, God Almighty is closer than your own self. The Muslim says, God Almighty is closer than the jugular vein, than your jugular vein. Similar meaning. There are several similarities. There are several. The concept of God matches. Besides that, they also believe in life after death. They believe that if you do good deeds, you will go to heaven. If you do bad deeds, you will go to hell. Hope these are enough for the few similarities between Islam and Parsi.
May we have a question from the gent section, from someone who's not asked a question as yet? This is the opportunity now. May we have a question from this brother?
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Brother, a fortnight ago I had read the Islamic Voice. The last page I think had an article about Muhammad in Hindu scriptures, I believe, by some other doctor. It was Tariq, I believe.
Abdullah Tariq.
Yeah, Abdullah Tariq. So there also some references were given from other religious scriptures stressing on the word peace-loving, lover of peace. So, and then I tried to show this to a Hindu friend of mine who is there in my company. So what he had to say, see, peace-loving, it's a universal timeline. So why are you only applying to Prophet Muhammad? It can be applied to so many other deities and idols and other bhagwans which had come. Why can be applied to them? So what do you have to say?
That's a very good question. The brother said, I read an article with him a couple of months earlier in the Islamic Voice, and even I read that article. The verses which the brother has quoted, Abdullah Tariq, same which I quoted. He quoted three verses, I quoted 13 mantras of Kuntab Sukta, the first one, saying that he will be the prince of peace, he will be praiseworthy, etc. So you showed your friend saying, that see, the mention of peace is there. So he gave the answer, he gave a very good reply, that there are many deities of peace loving. So if you say only because peace is mentioned, it is a beloved prophet, then no one will agree. But neither, no logical person will agree. If he's a fool, he'll agree. You have to give all the criteria. In that 13 verses which I've quoted, there are approximately 20 criteria only in that one verse. So you have to ask him that these 20 criteria fit to which person besides Prophet Muhammad? He was peace loving, he'll be called praiseworthy. Peace loving, he'll be an immigrant. The prince of peace, Kaurama is the word. In the first mantra, Kaurama, prince of peace. Also another means immigrant, a beloved prophet of immigrant. His Mama Rishi, honorable, also Muhammad is the name. By name is mentioned. Further, he was given 10 gold coins. You ask him which deity was given 10 gold coins. What do they refer to? Sorry, 100 gold coins and 10 reach, 300 steeds of horses, 10,000 cows. Ask them to explain, who's this person? Go further, that his companions and he will pray in the battlefield and will bow down. You ask him which Hindu god his companion prays in the battlefield and they bow down. Ask him. Then continue that he is the prince of peace. He lets the people come right from the down, from degradation to heights of glory. Complete, there are several. You ask him, who is this Rishi which your holy scriptures are talking about? And all the others I quoted, brother, you can quote him and then see the result. If you do a half job, surely he won't agree. And if he agrees, he's a fool out there. Only by saying peace, then he will come tomorrow and take out some verse of the Quran and saying, your Quran says this, therefore you have to follow. For example, take out one part and say, the Quran says that you should not pray. Surah Nisa chapter 4, verse 43 says that you should not pray. The complete verse is, pray not with your mind before. So when you give a complete translation, then no person Like the Holy Quran says, as I mentioned the last verse of the Holy Quran, which I quoted in my talk, which I mentioned from Surah Ahqaf, chapter 46, verse number 10, that seest thou not that this is a message from Allah and you reject it, when a person from amongst yourself, means your scriptures, speak about the truth and clarify the similarities between the early scriptures. He believed in it, but you are arrogant. You are most unjust. And Allah guides not the people who are unjust. This verse you can read.
It's your turn, sisters. Hey, we have a question from the ladies section, if there is any.
No question at present.
Fine. Gen section, anyone who's not asked a question and would like to ask on the topic of the day? Can we have a question from you? All right. You may be given a second opportunity to ask a question.
Many Hindus believe in Gita, and Gita is also considered quite similar to Quran in its preachings. So can you highlight on the similarities?
The brother has asked that the Hindus revere Gita and do agree with that, and he said that Gita is considered similar to the Quran. But yes, I don't consider Gita to be similar to the Quran. There is not a single verse which is written by human being is similar to the Gita or the Quran. There is not a single verse similar to the Quran, somewhat similar. Quran gives a challenge. Besides that, there are a few points. The message on the face of it may be similar, but there is a world of a difference. I mean, the Gita itself is so small, if you analyze. It's a part of Mahabharata. What the Hindus believe, that Gita is the essence. Like the Veda is supposed to be the grass. Veda is supposed to be the grass. And Krishna is supposed to be the cow eating the grass. And the milk that comes out is the Gita. Similarly, some person is other similes that Gita is the nectar of the Veda. Actually, it's part of Mahabharata, in which Lord Krishna gives a message to Arjuna. The full message is the Gita, contains approximately 18 chapters. There are similarities, but for example, if you read in chapter number 7, verse number 19 to 21, it says that all those who worship demigods, they are materialistic people. Quran says that they don't do idol worship. Same Gita says that. If you read again further, chapter number 4, verse number 7 and 8, it says that as often as there is evil in this world, I take a form and come into this world. We don't believe in reincarnation, we don't believe in avatar. But if you apply an analogy, we can say that it can be the prophet's ascent in this world. That is, there are similar points, but overall, the world of a difference. Hope that answers the question.
Brother over here wanted to ask a question.
Brother Zakir, we believe that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the best pattern of conduct. And you have also quoted a verse from the Quran which says that come to common terms as between us and you. And you have used this to say that we can quote from there, from the other holy scriptures, to prove our point. Did Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his preachings to the Jews and Christians ever use this technique of quoting from their scriptures, or did he exhort his companions, or is there any hadith which says that you should use their scriptures to prove a point?
Brother asked a question that this Prophet Muhammad used the technique which I have used in my talk, that quoting from other scriptures, etc., that come to comment. Did he ask his companion, brother, I've given you quoting from the Quran? Leave aside Prophet, Allah says that. And Allah's commandments are superior to the commandments of the Prophet also. I quoted a verse, I didn't use my technique, I used the technique of the Quran, which is, I'll give the complete quotation with context. Chapter number 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse 64, which says, Qul ya ahlal kitab, say, O people of the book, ta'ala ila kalmatin sawa'im bainana bainakum, that come to common terms as us and you. Which is the first term, Allah na'budu illallah, that we worship none but Allah. Wa la nushrika bihi, that we are associated with partners with Him. Wa la yattakhidha ba'duna ba'dan arbaban min dunillah, that we erect not among ourselves lords and patrons other than Allah. Fa in tawallaw, if then they turn back. Faqulu shadu, say we bear witness, we are non-Muslimun, that we are Muslims bowing our will to Allah. This verse is a master key for dawah. Quran, not this, several places. It says, Qul ya ahla al-kitab, la taqulu fi deenukum, do not go to extreme in your religion. It says, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, was no more than a messenger. It's telling, read your scriptures. And the verse I quote at the end of my talk, from Surah Ahqaf, chapter 46, verse number 10 says that don't you see it is similar to your scriptures? Means what? Read your scriptures, but naturally quote the scriptures. And if you analyze Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, you ask me questions when the Quran is being revealed and I will answer. And they asked things which he did not know, even of the previous scriptures, and he answered. And he said that Kul Hatu Bunanakum